going to read a few verses out of Hebrews. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, what I want you to look at, especially there, well, maybe a couple of things, but one thing is that Christ, the Son of God, as he says here, his Son, is the express image of the personage of God. In many places, we'll find where Christ speaking says that if you have seen him, you have seen the Father. Because he is the express image of his Father. Not only that, in other words, he is the Father of heaven and earth, as spoken of in several different places. Because he was the creator, showing that God created the world by Christ. If we would read over in Revelations about two verses, we would see there that Christ was the beginning of the creation of God. If we would read over in one in Isaiah, I believe it is, not in my references, but it would show that Christ was the only God created. You know, God himself was from all eternity to all eternity, but Christ had a beginning because God created him. And another thing I wanted you to notice too was that God had spoken to the people by the prophets. I don't know if I got it in my references or not, but you know, if you go back and I believe I got it in here. I'm going to turn and read back in Luke, the 16th chapter. This is just a little story, you know, but it goes along with what I was talking about. I'm going to start in with verse 19 and read the rest of the chapter, 16th chapter of Luke. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. You see, this is describing two men here, and we want to go on and follow them through till, well, shall we say, after they had left this life and was over on the other side. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes being torment, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Now, this shows that they were in different places over there. It doesn't show us why or what they done to get themselves in each of these places, but let's show you where they are. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a deep gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Showing that when they couldn't come back and forth to one another, but it seemed like he could talk back and forth to Abraham. Showing that there is a way, and there is a place, and that wherever you are, there you are. And that you can't go back and forth from one to another. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophet. Let them hear them. Now see what I read a while ago, where God had spoken to the people by the prophet, and here they have Moses and the prophets there where these brethren of his are living. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded till one rose from the dead. Showing how people are. They've got the scripture there from the prophets through Moses, and they wouldn't pay attention to them. He said if they wouldn't pay attention to them, they wouldn't hear the one come back from the dead. And we have the writings of the prophets, and then we have in the from Christ on the writings which we call the New Testament, which is from his apostles and the Latter-day prophets and different ones of his disciples wrote. And if we stop to consider back in those little old prophets, they wrote and told us through their writing that there would be another book written besides the Bible, and it told us that they should be put together and the two should become one. So we've got two books here to guide us in that straight and narrow path, if we will just but listen to what's in them. And that's why I read this little story, because it shows us that those things were told to them and were written so that they could read them. If they hadn't been written, you know that Lehi couldn't have brought the records across with him. So they was written before time for our guidance. It just behooves us to find out what's in them and guide ourselves by what we find in these two books. And it tells us in the Book of Mormon that in these two books we have the fullness of the gospel. If anybody adds something to them, you know that he's doing it on man's own say-so. As this, maybe I got a little bit off of my references, but then maybe I told you something too. I'm going to read a little bit out of John, the fourth chapter. I'm going to read verses 23 and 24. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now that's what I'm trying to talk about, that we're supposed to worship God in spirit and in truth. And he said Christ is the express image of his person. Now if we were to go back over in the Book of Mormon, where the brother of Jared went up on the mountain with the stones to have Christ make them so that they would shine forth in the ships to give them light as they crossed the water. And he seen the finger of God. And, to make a long story short, Christ, a little bit later, showed himself to the brother of Jared. And he told him that this was that he was showing him was his spiritual body, and that his fleshy body, when he took upon him flesh and blood, would look just like his spiritual body. Showing that Christ could do things that we wouldn't hardly expect to show himself to that man. And that was his spiritual body. And he's the express image of God's body, and God is a spirit. Over in 3 Nephi, so I got it here someplace, I think. In the fourth chapter, I'm going to begin with verse 49. It shows us some of the things that we can do worshiping God. And he's speaking here, this is Christ. And maybe I've got the wrong chapter here. Like I'm pretty reading you the wrong verses. Telling us how we can worship Christ. Chapter 4, verse 49. And Christ telling him here how that the Mosaic law was fulfilled. He says, and ye shall offer up unto me no more the shedding of blood, Yea, your sacrifices and your burnt offerings shall be done away, for I will accept none of your sacrifices and your burnt offerings. And ye shall offer for a sacrifice unto me a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And whoso cometh unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, him will I baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost. Even as the Lamanites, because of their faith in me at the time of their conversion, were baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost, and they knew it not. When we study through all of the different commandments of Christ, we find that this being baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost comes after our repentance and doing away from our things that are not righteous and become baptized and join his church. In some places, it just tells us how we must be baptized and how we must do those things that he says for us to do. Behold, I have come unto the world to bring redemption unto the world, to save the world from sin. Therefore, whoso repenteth and cometh unto me as a little child, him will I receive, for of such is the kingdom of God. Behold, for such I have laid down my life and have taken it up again. Therefore, repent and come unto me, ye ends of the earth, and be saved. Showing that we, if we come unto him and repent and are baptized, and then baptized with the Holy Ghost, if we continue to the end, following him and his direction, then we will be saved. And when you come to him as a little child, why, you might say it's pretty sure that we're going to try to do those things that he tells us to do. If we would turn back to Isaiah, I'm not going to turn to it, but if you want to look for it, it's in the 9th chapter and verse 6, where it tells us of a child that's going to be born and what his name will be. And among the names that he's going to be called, he's going to be called the God. I'm going to turn now to 2 Nephi and read some. In the 11th chapter, I want to read quite a little bit here, because it tells us some of the things that we can do to worship him. I think sometimes we think, well, because we ain't doing anything real bad, we're all right. But sometimes, well, this one scripture, I don't know just exactly where it is in the Bible now, but it says, if we know to do good and do it not, to us it is sin. I could hunt it up, but I've got more here than I can talk about tonight anyway. I'm going to begin with verse 21, read two verses, then I'm going to skip down a ways and read some more. But behold, they shall have wars and rumors of wars. And when the day cometh that the only begotten of the Father yea, even the Father of heaven and earth, shall manifest himself unto them in the flesh. Behold, they will reject him because of their iniquities and the hardness of their hearts. Now he's speaking of the Jew here, and the stiffness of their neck. Behold, they will crucify him, and after he is laid in the sepulchre for the space of 3 days, he shall rise from the dead with healing in his wings, and all those who shall believe on his name shall be saved in the kingdom of God. Now, when we stop to consider those that believe on his name, if they, you hear a lot of them say, I believe in Christ. But do they do the things that he has written for instructions for us to do? And if we don't manifest by our actions that we believe in him, I don't believe that it does very much good to say that we believe in him. I'm going to drop down to verse 30, and I'm going to read about, 3 or 4 or 5 verses. Wherefore he shall bring forth his words unto them, which words shall judge them at the last day. For they shall be given them for the purpose of convincing them of the true Messiah, who was rejected by them, and unto the convincing of them that they need not look forward any more for a Messiah to come. Now, maybe a lot of you don't know, especially some of the younger, but you should know that the Jews rejected Christ, never admitted that he was Christ, and to this day, they look for the Messiah to come, not realizing that he's already been. And, that might not do much good just to look for one that's already been. For there shall not any come, save it should be a false Messiah, which should deceive the people. For there is saved one Messiah spoken of by the prophets, and that Messiah is he who should come, should be rejected of the Jews. It gives us something there to look back to see that they rejected him, so we know that he is the true Messiah. I'm going to drop down now to read verse 55 and 56. I tell you, I'm going to read 44 up here. It has a little bit of something on it. Maybe some of us ought to stop and think about it. But we know that it is by grace that we are saved. After all, we can do. I don't know if it was in the Sunday school class we were talking about that today or when, but it seems to me we've been talking about that not too long back. And now behold, I say unto you that the right way is to believe in Christ and to deny him not. And Christ is the Holy One of Israel. Wherefore you must bow down before him and worship him with all your might, mind, and strength, and your whole soul. And if you do this, you shall in no wise be cast off. And in some places it tells us that we have to continue worshiping him to the end. If we worship him a little while now and then kind of forget him, we might get like what you say off into bypaths, forbidden paths. And if we continue worshiping him right along all the time, then we will remember more about him and his doings and his commandments that we will order our lives more in his pathway, that we may do those things that he wants us to do. And if we don't keep that continually in mind, we can wander away. I know. And it was for quite a few years in my younger life that I didn't pay much attention to religion. I'd been raised and reorganized. I was baptized when I don't know for sure whether I was, I believe I was 10. And that's about all that I seemed to know for a long time. And you know, I can tell the difference when I get older. What I miss, and I'd say studying and learning more of his ways when I was younger. And that's what our young ones ought to do, is study quite a bit. It helps us to live closer to him. I'm going to turn back to 3 Nephi again, chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 53, and then I'm going to drop down to 66. Blessed are all they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now that's what we need, is to have that Holy Ghost with us at all times to guide and direct us, that we will do those things that will be pleasing to our Master. Drop down to verse 66. And before I give you, and behold, I have given you the law and the commandments of my Father, that ye shall believe in me, and that ye shall repent of your sins, and come unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Behold, you have the commandments before you, and the law is fulfilled. Therefore, come unto me, and be ye saved. For verily I say unto you, that except ye shall keep my commandments, which I have commanded you at this time, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, it shows us here that we should learn and obey his commandments. Where it says, if we don't, we shall no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. And it tells us over in Alma, and again in 1 Peter, not to rest the commandments. You know what it means to rest them? To twist. I had it written down one time. That's right here. Rest means to twist, wrench, distort, or turn from its natural meaning. Pervert. That's the meaning of resting the scriptures. Twisting them so that they don't have their natural meaning. And we're told in both places not to do this. Let's turn over to the sixth chapter of 3rd Nephi. Quite a little instructions in here. What we should do. Let's start with verse 24. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whoso heareth these things of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And every one that heareth these things of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall. Showing the difference, whether we are built upon that rock, which is Christ, and we go over here to one, the 12th chapter, I believe it is, in 3 Nephi, he tells us that we must be built upon his gospel. And if we're not built upon his gospel, even though we call the Church of Christ, we're not his church. There's quite a few different organizations that's called the Church of Christ, but they're not built upon his gospel. I worry about it sometimes. Maybe unnecessarily. Turn back to Luke again for a little bit. The 18th chapter. Chapter of Luke. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous, and despised others, Now see who he's telling this parable to. And to certain which trusted in themselves, thought they're doing all right, and that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, and one a Pharisee, the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. This is something that we should stop and not only listen to now, but go back and read it and think about it a lot. Or if we don't, we'll forget. And sometimes think we're just doing all right. I'm going to tell you one on myself. When I was in my early teens, I was still going to Sunday school pretty regularly. And I thought the church that I was going to then was perfect. When I grew up and began to study for myself, I found out it wasn't perfect.